Okay, so going through this, 87 slides and 30, we're not doing 87 slides. So I'm going to take a lot out. So for those of you that are following along, we are going to make some big jumps.
This is your updated one, right?
And that's the updated one, yeah. So so just going through this, a lot of what we're going to go through, how did this happen here? And this happened, this actually started about 4 years ago, partially from some SNA members, Mario Byrne and Neil Winston, and I was fortunate enough to be on a committee where we worked on this for over and over and over, and it was really wonderful that the SSA folks, you know, allowed us to get involved with the whole process, and this is the result. By the way, I would say everything that came out of the revised POMS was good. April, do I dare move this up here, or... Can I? Okay. So the thing about it, the other thing I'm going to mention about the POMS is the first thing it says, and I happen to be a POMS wonk here. I read the POMS all the time. First thing it says is it's not to be used for precedent in a pig's eye. Okay. I mean, I'm here to tell you, we live and die by the POMS. So, yeah, technically it's not a precedent, but it is a precedent. Kind of the way to look at what the POMS are, and the way I explain it to my clients is, does it seem like when you call Social Security, they're reading a script? They're reading a script. And so part of it for us, and also with our clients, and a lot of the videos of work I do, you'll see I'm constantly referring to the POMS. So they can say it's not used for precedent. It's definitely used for precedent, okay, for that kind of thing. So let's charge through this a little bit. And with a transmittal, and there is something weird going on because the recent changes are gone, and they were there, I swear to God, here. And the reason, and I check them all the time because they do make changes all the time. And yes, I do remember where you had to make an appointment to get your hands on this secret document here, and then over a development of times, now it's all available. So, and the other thing is that what she gave you, you should not only keep track of that, but the important parts of this, you should bookmark. You're going to go back to these things over and over and over again. Okay, so let's go through this. So once again, now the other thing you have to keep in mind is who's this really written for? It's actually not written for me. I wish it was. It's actually written to the claims representatives to tell them how to handle a specific situation. Here, and you can learn a lot from this because, you know, part of this is the POMS is huge. I mean, it's just, I bet you if you printed it out, it would literally be that tall. It may be an exaggeration, but not much here. And our section, really, even though it looks big, it's only just that itty bitty part involved in that. And so, you know, you have to really, you know, once again, always go back to this. And always keep in mind, too, I remember that we used to have calls with Ken Brown. Oh, I miss Ken here. And one time we got really super involved in hammering on him about some technicalities of trust and that kind of thing. And he kind of stopped me, and I always remember this. He said, you could get as creative as you want. You just need to remember that these claims representatives here, they probably, it's like less than 1% of their time that they spend is on trust. And that's probably still true. And so, you know, part of it is his advice is stick to basics and don't get creative. And I think that is really good advice. Okay. So a couple things as we go through this to get through as much as we can in the time allotted. There's four sections, as she's pointed out, that deal with trust. Here and the transmittals, which is when there's a change. So the thing with the transmittal, the difference between that and the POMS, it'll say, this is what we changed, okay, here. So that's why I usually save them, because it's hard to know what it was before and where it is now. So the first one we go through went to the introduction of the ABLE Act, the assignment of military survivors benefits, and the Special Needs Fairness Act and that kind of thing. So, you know, once again, there's your site to the POMS. So this is the first one you get involved with. So part of this is, and this will illustrate something else. The POMS generally is national, okay? But this may shock you. Things are different in California than they are in Texas in oh so many ways. And that includes Social Security. Here, and so just learning the national rules isn't going to do it, because we have slightly different variations from region to region. By the way, as far as the regions go, and if I have time, I intend to go on about a 2-minute rant here about difference from regions to regions here. The regions are the same as the federal court region. So I'm in the 9th district, so I'm in the 9th region. What region are we in?
6th.
So we're in the 6th region, okay? So, and by the way, for reasons I may go through, you can count yourself lucky you are in the 6th region. I'm just here to tell you. Okay, so anyway, so part of this is they're going through what's a revocable trust and what's not a revocable trust. And this kind of it will illustrate how sometimes we get a little bit into the weeds here. So if a grantor is the trust beneficiary and in a self-settled trust, and the majority of what we're going to talk about are self-settled trusts, if the grantor is also the trust beneficiary, the trust is revocable in many situations. And what they're going to talk about is, when is it revocable, when is it irrevocable? So this may go back to first-year trust law, and that's really the level of what we're covering. Many states recognize, however, that a grantor cannot unilaterally revoke a trust if there is a residual beneficiary to receive the trust assets upon the death of the grantor or termination of the trust. Okay, so part of this, as we go through this here, is that when a grantor names heirs, next of kin or similar individuals to receive assets remaining in the trust upon the grantor's death, assume that the trust are residual beneficiaries. And in that case, they're saying the trust is irrevocable. For a beneficiary who's a minor here, and as we're going to say, if you're just naming the estate, they're going to say that the trust, you know, may very well be revocable. For a beneficiary who's a minor, or if the court has ordered it, here, naming the estate will not cause the trust to be revocable. By the way, if you have questions under Texas law about what's revocable, not what's not irrevocable, in Texas, I have no idea. Talk to Pi I mail. He probably